USAopoly is the company behind your favorite top-quality custom board games made with brands you love. They're your source for authentic, hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained, laughter, and shareable memories. For more details, go to USAopoly.com. That's USAOPOLY.com.
DC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city is saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm not a cop anymore.
Like I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire
in the future.
People.
My name is Barry Allen, and I'm the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you will. Heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? You are listening to DC on CW Legends of Tomorrow edition on Rain Man Digital. Now, if you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app. That's available on iTunes App Store and the Google Play Store. You got to search Rain Man Digital for that. You can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. Once you get there, leave us a review. It helps the show out. Trust me, I know I say that every friggin' episode, but it really does help us out. Now, I would say, as always, I'm your show host, but I'm not always on this show. So I am your show host tonight, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me is Bobby Doherty.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, so this is like my first one of the year, I think.
Yeah, because you go on vacation a lot.
I'm all over the place, man. I'm traveling a lot. So this is my first Legends of Tomorrow for this season or this year, and I'm excited because this was actually a really cool episode. Today, we will be breaking down and discussing Legends of Tomorrow Season 3, Episode 6. Helen Hunt. No, not the actress Helen Hunt. Legends track and anachronism. Jesus, I am not good at reading tonight. Sucking already. Helen of Troy to 1930s Hollywood. This was pretty cool, man.
Did you think the hot chick was Sarah at the beginning?
For a second, yes. The hot chick is Sarah. We know that from my lamenting about how much I love Sarah, but I did truly think it was her at first, and then I was like, oh, okay. Dude, I'm not gonna lie though, that opening scene was pretty rad, like everyone just falling head over heels.
Yeah, no, you know, definitely.
Well, I was like, dude, like I love the movie Troy, like it's one of my favorite movies, and it's pretty interesting to see like the spin on it they did with, like, you know, she was so unbelievably ungodly beautiful that they, you know, people would go to war because of her. And I thought that was cool how they did that. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about this episode. You know, my first one of the year, and I think we'll have a nice little discussion about the episode. Some cool stuff that happened during it.
Yep.
So, we got some news here. One is talking about our crossover. So now, yes, we know that the DC shows on CW are going to have a 4-part crossover. And when we say 4-part, we truly mean 4 parts: Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow, and Flash. So we are actually going to get a true on 4-part crossover. But the news here is DC on CW is actually going to have a crossover too as well. Myself, who has never once been on a Supergirl show, will be on the Supergirl portion of
what the fans have been calling for all these years. Ryan on a Supergirl.
I can't believe that, like, people actually want to hear me on that show. Like, they know I don't like Supergirl, right?
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, I'm probably going to sit there. I mean, I'm sure the episode's going to be great. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I'm probably going to sit there and just be
sure
like,
the episode's going to be good. It's got Oliver Queen in it.
Yeah, it's got Oliver and it's got, you know, like Barry Allen. So I should be good. You know, I don't have to look at Supergirl, although I will say she is pretty hot.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm excited to do it. I mean, I haven't done one.
Yeah, we're basically going to be doing we're going to turn the 4-part into a 2-part. DC on CW with all the 4 main hosts. So you'll have Nicole, Lauren, Ryan, and myself all on the mic discussing what's going on. Lauren will lead the first two, the Supergirl and Arrow part, and then Ryan will lead the Legends and Flash part.
I'm excited. I mean, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be cool, too, because the two-parter, you get to have Lauren lead the show and you have me lead the show. So, you know, both lead hosts get to rock and roll on the crossover. And I think it'll be fun. I mean, from what we hear about the crossover and kind of the things that we've seen, I think they're going to be really rad episodes, too.
Yeah, it better be.
That's true.
They spent a lot of time and a lot of money on them.
That is very true. They better be frigging good. So with that, let's jump into a couple news articles that we have. The first one, we're just going to go right into it. And you know, if you guys watched this last episode, Helen Hunt, you noticed at the very end, there was a monster Easter egg, like probably even bigger than Oliver Queen saying Bruce Wayne, I could say.
Yes.
You could argue.
Because this was actually a physical.
This thing. Is a fucking place.
This wasn't a person or no. a name. Or
so in this article,
mention.
A mention. Yes. So, let's just start it off. Could Wonder Woman be heading to CW? Probably not. But on last night's Legends of Tomorrow episode, Helen Hunt at least acknowledged the Amazon Princess exists in the same superhero universe as the Legends, Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl. After contending with the resurrection of Damian Dark, the Legends needed to return a time-displaced Helen of Troy to the Bronze Age. However, Zari exploited a loophole and instead deposited Helen down on the sandy beaches of Themis area. In other words, the show introduced the remote island of Warrior Women where Diana, aka Wonder Woman, was born and raised. Now, this is absolutely massive because not only, you know, this isn't just one person. This is all the Amazons. This is Themyscira. This is an actual location. Okay. We've heard Bloodhaven mentioned in, you know, Arrow.
Never seen it.
We hear Ferris Air mentioned all the time.
Just empty airports.
Empty airports. We see Cord Industries, which we've actually seen buildings, but never Ted Cord.
Never Ted Cord.
I think we actually are going to get Ted Cord here eventually. We've heard Bruce Wayne. Never seen him. We've heard, what was another one?
Green Lantern.
We see Hal Jordan's jacket, but we never actually see Hal Jordan. So again, this is monstrous, though, on this scale. This is actually saying Themyscira and seeing Themyscira and putting a character there. So,
and it basically looked like it was from the movie.
Yeah, they pulled the shot straight. You know, it did definitely seem like it was from the movie.
I mean, it looked like the beach that you see Chris Pine wash up on.
It was mind-boggling, dude. Like, yeah. After I watched it, I sent you a text. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and it was... The weird thing is I'd fallen asleep because I'm old and I fall asleep a lot.
I can attest to that.
And so I only had made it halfway through the show. And Ryan's like, did you watch? I'm like, I made it to, you know, where they, you know, Damian Dark's daughter comes or whatever it was.
Right.
And he's like, oh, wait. And I'm like, he's like, it's Bruce Wayne big. And I was like, oh, did they do another Batman thing that's going to piss me off? I really thought they did another Batman thing because like to point that out all the time.
I do love
Ryan's all fucking hyped up on Batman. And then when they flew, I was like, huh, that's Wonder Woman stuff.
Yeah, which was, I mean.
Now, we've had a Wonder Woman reference before.
What was that?
Remember Cheetah showed up in, what was it, Flash?
That's right.
You know, as a nameplate on a wall.
So, but even still, that was still a mention.
Yes.
I mean, I think this is bigger than that because it is a full on location. It confirms without a shadow of a doubt that character exists.
Somehow they can get there.
Yep. It confirms. Yeah. How can you get to the invisible island that's unfindable? Weird how that works.
Gideon?
Yeah. Gideon knows everything, dude.
Yeah.
What is cool about this is in this article too, some of the cast, kind of weighs in on, you know, the scene. Katie Lotz, said the Easter egg was really cool and joked that Gal Gadot is coming on the show. Now that would be awesome, but that's not going to happen. Brandon Routh, hadn't viewed the scene, but loved the Wonder Woman feature film. He noted, I think giving praise to that and that whole world is awesome. Maisie Richardson Sellers, she plays Vixen, echoes Rouse Sims. I think it's awesome. She said, that's what I love about the comic book universe is when you can tap into different worlds. So it seemed like the cast was really into it. And they were really excited about it.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I think it's pretty cool when the cast can appreciate something cool like that too. I mean, we saw that with Stephen Amell basically talking about saying Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
So
and again, this showing the physical location is, you know, everybody that listens to us should go thank Geoff Johns.
Yeah, because, tweet him because shit, man, he is really opening the world.
And mention us when you do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tweet, yeah, please add us
and,
in there too.
Yeah, so put us and Geoff Johns in.
Yeah.
Because he was the one when he took over DC Films and, like, you know, DC Entertainment, said, you guys do not have restrictions. I don't care what the past people told you. And obviously showing the physical location of where Wonder Woman comes from is a huge thank you to him. Because it wouldn't have happened, you know, 2 years ago when he wasn't running the place.
I mean, you're right, dude. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to put this on the shelf here, and I'm going to say this now, November 16th, 2017, in 2 to 3 years, if these shows are still going, and I think they will be, we're going to see some big shit.
Yeah.
If Geoff Johns continues to run things the way he's running it and giving them the showrunners free reign, I think we're going to see some pretty badass shit that I think – we will see some sort of Justice League type maneuver. I truly believe it.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that now, and, you know, and stop talking about it so Bob doesn't kill me. Okay. All right. So our next article here, Arrow Legends of Tomorrow, executive producers promised tears in the DC crossover. Oh, God. Here we go. All right. So the biggest surprise will be the emotional component of the crossover, Arrow executive producer Wendy Miracles tells THR. I don't think anyone is going to see that coming. It's very much a dark love story. It's the underpinnings of that will make the Earth-X element a real contrast to that. Oliver has a big role to play in it, and it's bigger and better than any crossover we've done in the past. It's going to be epic. Okay. Legends executive producer Phil Klemmer suggests that it would be the crew of the Wave Rider that brought some of the waterworks, something that THR speculated could mean a heroic. It almost
probably
like
horrific too.
Oh, horrific too. I mean,
anyway, sacrifice is heroic, horrific.
It's going to be bad.
It goes with it.
It's going to go crying. You'll be surprised that Legends is capable of making our audience cry, Klemmer tells us. I thought last season really leaned into the comedy, and this season 3, we tripled down on that. There's some ludicrous moments, things get bananas, and yet in this crossover, we have this thing that happens that will honestly move you to tears. So someone's going to die, man.
Yeah, well, we know they've reported that, and so, you know, we've had the thing that it's going to either be Stein or Jax because of
what's going on. Yeah.
Well, that and Stein's leaving the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, so one of them's going to die and one of them's going to leave. You know, and so it looks like the crossover is where this is going to happen.
Well, the thing is, man, like, okay, so you lose Firestorm. Like, now what? You know, is this where Wally comes in?
Nah, I don't think we're going to get anybody to replace him yet.
That's tough, man. I mean, the thing is, I know they're trying to figure out how to do Firestorm with just one of them, which we know is not, I don't even think it's possible. I don't know, man. This is going to suck, dude. I don't want to see anybody die.
Nah.
I mean, hell, we almost, you know, peed ourselves when Captain Cold sacrificed himself.
Yeah.
So again, this is going to be, well, I mean, obviously it sounds like they're promising us a huge
crossover.
Somebody's
going to die in 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's tough, man. I don't want to see deaths. I don't want to see, you know, cool.
Well, Barry Allen's going to die because he's getting married.
Oh, that's his soul dying. That's a different, that's a different death.
He's dead inside.
He's dead inside. He gets married and he just dies inside. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the crossover. I think they keep promising an epic crossover, so it better fucking be epic at this point. Like, if you're going to keep hitting us with these, you know, teasers and shit, it better be epic.
Emil's going to be the best he's ever been. There's going to be deaths on Legends, and they're going to cry.
And it's like, holy shit, man, this better be, fuck, they better.
And we got Nazis.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. So anyways, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Legends Tomorrow, Season 3, Episode 6, Helen Hunt. First, quick break.
I'm already helping a bunch of idiot do-gooders. Sorry, I'm up to my fuzzy hood and teamwork.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
This is Star Wars from the Bunker Tank Exclusive.
That thing's operational.
Because they've done it with Star Tours. On a small scale. Now take that immersion that we get with Star Tours and put it out into an entire park. Yeah. How many Star Wars fans would be giddy just to sit behind the controls of the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah. Like, they told me they fixed it. That's the first thing I'm going to say. Right? What if you can get the Lando experience, too? Like, you can learn how to be a traitor and betray your friend and take his girlfriend. You know,
here's his clothes. Yeah, okay.
You know how they have like the Jedi school there at Disneyland now? You learn to be a Padawan. Well, they should have one learn to be a scumbag, like Lando Calrissian. Sell out your friend, ship, take his best friend and his girl.
And wear his clothes.
And they get promoted to a general. You too could be like Lando. Guys, join the Lando Calrissian School of Scoundrelness.
TheBatTheTank.com for more details. And get ready for an excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Back to Tank. That is to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
The torch has been handed to other producers to take over the series. I feel like we're going in the right direction, and I can't wait to see what's next. The only downfall is I need more cat suits. I need more women walking around like Deanna Troi and 7 of 9. What do you think?
You don't want the original Star Trek where it's like those mini skirts?
No. I need Deanna Troi outfits, and I need communicator badges so I can be like, hey, Deanna Troi, can I use your communicator?
Holodeck.
Mine's not working. Let me use yours, please. Let me use yours. I'm not trying to touch your boobs. I'll be very careful.
I can't use my hands, I have to use my face.
Hold on. Watch. Just a little tap. Just see, that's all I'm doing. Nothing to be alarmed by. Just a little tap. Medical attention, please. Okay, one more. I need to be transported to the hospital, please. Hi, Deanna Troi.
Star Trek From the Holodeck, the Discovery Edition. Breaking down, analyzing, and discussing every episode of the new hit Trek series on iTunes and Stitcher. Simply search From the Holodeck. You can also find it on the Rain Man Digital app. Just search Rain Man Digital from the iTunes App Store or Google Play.
Yo, Bob.
What's up, man?
Did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service?
I did know that, but tell me more.
That's right. Besides the weekly free broadcast, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service. And when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber, dude. It is freaking easy.
How easy is it?
The premium service includes video content plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek From the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, DC on CW, this show, which is awesome, Supernatural, The Crossroads, and more. So you ask how easy it is? All you have to do is head over to patreon.com/rainmandigital and sign up today. Guys, we are back, and in this segment here, we're going to talk about Legends of Tomorrow, Season 3, Episode 6, Helen Hunt. And no, we're not getting Twister. I had to make a Twister reference in there. So this one was directed by David Geddes, written by, I did not
remember. Kyoto Shimizu.
Yeah, Kyoto Shimizu and Uba Mohammed. Mohammed.
Turka.
It's fucked up. All right. Anyway, so let's just jump right into it. This week, we get more into the Firestorm breakup as we see Rey attempt to get Stein and Jack split. I mean, we know what's going to happen with Stein. You know, we know he's leaving. So obviously, they got to explain that. But we get the old Freaky Friday situation, the old switcheroony. Which is, you know what, man, you see it in just about every show at some point, the old switcheroony. And you know what? It never gets old.
It's a timeless story.
It's a tale as old as time. Like that kind of same thing. I want to tell you this right now. And this is one thing I really wanted to talk about is that holy shit. Those two actors are amazing. Dude, Jax nailed Stein's like mannerisms and voice, and Stein nailed Jax's. Dude, it was money.
The funny thing is, I looked at Victor Garber, we know, is like a top tier actor.
Right. Oh, yeah. A actor. Yeah.
And then I was looking at, I can't think of Jax's name right now. And I'm sorry, but I was looking at Jax. I was like, he's winning. Like, I was doing like,
he really was winning. Was he not?
I was doing the comparison of what I do.
Who was acting it better?
Who's doing who better? Like, if we were to do impressions of each other, it's just like, that's not what I sound like. And you'd be like, that's not what I sound like.
Right.
But when I was looking at Jax, I was going, that's what fucking Victor Garber sounds like.
Dude, you know what's funny though? So you have to think, dude, that episode probably took longer to shoot because I'd be dying laughing. I'd be peeing my pants.
Well, there was times where you saw like Nate smiling.
Yeah.
You know, when they're trying to go. And you're just like, you're wondering if that was like a cut thing to where he was just like, look at you fucking acting exactly like him.
Dude, like so it'd be no different. Like if we were in here and you did a bit and you were me, I'd probably fucking laugh my ass.
I do that shit all the time on Supergirl, but you don't listen.
Oh, that's fucked up. Man, now I got to start listening to Supergirl. Shit. Making fun of me and shit. No, dude, you're right. I was watching it. I'm like, God, man, this is really good, dude. Like, holy crap. Like, but yeah.
But it was just like everything about him. Like you said, even the mannerisms and like the cadence of speech, I think is what really did it.
Yeah.
And it probably helps that like Stein kind of talks like a Brit and Jax is a Brit.
Yeah. I think that probably was made it easier.
Man, I got to look up his name. It's like Franz something.
Something like that. Look
Can't
it up.
Think of his name.
I did like how they played off the fact that Stein was, you know, was feeling young in Jax's body and the whole vice versa of Jax feeling.
I got a big dick.
Yeah. My dick just grew 3 inches by changing bodies.
Yeah.
It's weird how that works.
They never, I guess they have done a rated R Freaky Friday, but we'll get into that in a
minute.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Those would be the things I'd be looking at. I'd be like flexing in the mirror. Be like,
oh, you'd be like, damn, I look good. Like, but it was good how they played off of that, you know, having Jax kind of feel like have the arthritis in his hands and, you know, feeling shitty, you know, his knees were hurting and then Stein feeling like, you know, $1 million because he's younger. That was smart for them to do that. And it made it funnier.
But it's probably going to like, I know again, we're going to get a split sooner than later with them.
Yeah.
But if you were to walk in, like, technically, in all reality, walk in my shoes and I was to walk in your shoes for even a day. You know, it's going to change the way you perceive how the other person feels.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, dick size.
You and I are pretty comparable with penis size, so it wouldn't really be that big of a deal.
It just sounds like so creepy, like when you like, like we go pelvic to pelvic and see who touches who and who's short.
We've had that test. Dude, I feel like we've been around each other long enough to know, like, but we don't. That's weird. Is that weird?
That's not weird.
Is it weird? No. I feel like it's weird.
Why are you looking at my dick?
Who says I'm looking on purpose?
That was stupid.
But no, I think that was one of the highlights of the scene, dude. Honestly, that acting and portraying that actual their character was fucking phenomenal, man.
Well, and again, it helps that you believe that they were in each other's body with acting.
Yes, I truly believed it.
You saw the excitement in, you know, Jax, you know, or Jax Stein, let's say.
Yeah,
As, you know, he's like, I feel good again and like I can dress up and do all these different things and, you know. Again, especially with the age difference, I don't know if it would be the same for like me and you since we're about the same age.
It wouldn't, yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. But like if I was 20, 30 years older than you and then I jumped into like, a 30-year-old body, it'd probably be a big difference.
Yeah. I think so. The biggest question here, though, is like, dude, if you really think about it, would you ever want to be stuck in someone else's body? Like if you really truly think about it?
No, it would be creepy. Like I think I would flip out.
I think the only person like whose body I'd want to be in.
Jason Momoa.
I was going to say Momoa. Dude, that was literally the first person I thought. How did you know that? That or Ryan Reynolds, dude?
Because we talk about this is actually a true statement. If I was ever going to be a man, I would be Jason Momoa.
Dude, like, okay. That is creepy that you said that because that's literally the first person I thought of. Like, man. He's a God. What a dude.
That's a man.
That is a man, bro. He throws axes and drinks Guinness. Like, come on. That guy is a dude.
And guess who would be disappointed if I body swapped with him? Jason Momoa.
Dude, he's like, your body guy, be like, what
this
the
guy's
fuck?
Fucking like frumpy as fuck and can't get up the stairs without deep breath.
Why does this guy have a fupa? What the hell is going on here, man? What the fuck, dude? He'd be so disappointed. You'd be like, yes. And he'd be like, what the hell, man? Shit. How do I want to like, so you put it in here. How does this rank against, you know, like the other body swap movies or shows? And you've got like, so the ones we'll name up, you know, you got Freaky Friday, you got the original and the remake. I like the remake better because that was when Lindsay Lohan was hot.
She was like 13.
She was hot, you know, whatever. Face Off, which is a personal favorite of mine. Love that movie. Change Up, Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds. That was the rated R one, right?
Yes.
Like Father, Like Son. I never saw that because it has Kirk Cameron in it. And he, you know, I'm sure there was some God message in there somewhere.
No, this is before he became Jesus Freak.
This is was before.
Had Dudley Moore in it. I don't know if Dudley Moore has been alive for 20 years.
And then Hot Chick. So, first and foremost, I love Hot Chick. It's fucking hilarious. But honestly.
So let's start with that one.
Okay.
Could you jump into a girl's body?
No way, dude. not a chance, bro. I would be so confused. I'd go to pee and try to stand up and then pee all over myself. That'd be the worst problem, I think.
That would be the only issue.
Yeah, I'd be like, God, why the fuck? I just want to stand up and pee.
I'd just be grabbing my boob the whole time.
You'd just be playing with yourself?
Oh, totally.
Pervert.
Get away with copping feels for free.
Yeah, but it's like you're feeling yourself. Is that really the same thing?
What do you think I do back here behind the screen?
Oh, God, it's terrible. I don't want to know about that. That's why we need crotch cams.
Mike doesn't need to know about it.
No.
Touching his keyboard after.
Ew. He's got like fucking
curlies.
Yeah.
Curlies. I just tell him it's my beard.
Why is your beard a different color, Bob? That's so weird.
Don't worry about it.
Face Off for sure, dude. What a great movie. John Travolta and Nicolas Cage.
That wouldn't be weird because could you imagine taking the face and the body of your like most hated like enemy?
I don't know if I could actually look like my ex-wife for that long, but I, no, I, you, dude, that was pretty good.
I'll give you that one. You gotta pat yourself on the back there, buddy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Sometimes I don't know if you like those jokes or not. The fact of the matter is like that one's tough because, well, I don't think they change bodies. They just change faces, right?
Yeah, but still, it's still like the same concept. You're in somebody else's skin.
That one's rough, man. I don't know. Cutting my own face off. I'm not that hardcore.
See, and like with the change of with Ryan Reynolds, like I don't know if I would like be like, if me and you switched, I'd be like, don't fuck Deb.
Ah, yeah, that's a tough one, dude.
Like, you know, if she starts getting all frisky, you tell her no, you have a headache.
I don't feel good. I have a migraine. Leave me alone. Let me go to sleep. Let me go to bed. Not feeling good.
Yeah.
I don't feel up to it tonight.
Yeah. You figure out a way not to sleep with them.
Yeah, but that's not fair because then you're in my body, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Totally different.
Oh, what?
Dude, you're not in any relationship.
That's true. I'm not. But even still, is that considered cheating?
Is it?
Would that be cheating? I think you'd be cheating.
Helicoptering your dick.
I mean, it is a good helicopter dick. I don't know, man. I think regardless, switching bodies with someone would be weird.
Yeah.
Now, this episode also contains one of the other story arcs that we've seen so far with Damien Dark returning. And he returns in Hollywood in 1930s. And dude, Hollywood in 1930s was a weird place, man. It was very, very, you know, they just hammered out movies back to back to back. And it made total sense for Dark to be like, you know, the air quote, you know, agent or whatever for a new star. Now, Sarah and the team basically are trying to convince Helen of Troy, and it is the legitimately Helen of Troy, to go home, but she doesn't want to go back because she's treated so much better in Hollywood than where she came from.
Which obviously, is 1930s Hollywood. It probably wasn't the best of times to think it was better.
Not for women. No, I mean, 1930 Hollywood for women is probably one of the worst places on, you know, our time periods. But, I mean, think about where she came from. You know, she came from Troy, where she got locked up and basically was, you know, mythically speaking, supposed to be, you know, married to a disgusting person. And it starts a war. She literally starts a war. So, you know, I don't know what the difference is, but I would guess, you know, for her being the most amazingly hot chick that they portrayed her as being like
not being locked up and then everybody falling fucking heads over heels.
Exactly, dude. Like, look, everyone likes admiration. And if you're getting admiration like that, hell, I'd like it too. Shit. And I can't blame her for not wanting to go back to Troy. So, fuck, hell, I'd probably never go back at that point. I don't know. Just that whole situation was weird. And I think they pegged her off being super duper, like they pegged her off the right way, if that makes sense. You know, like,
There'd be no chance in hell I'd be going back. But I also, if I was Legends, I wouldn't be asking people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
You
like,
get fucking tasered.
And your ass is getting chucked back.
Yeah, neuralized, and you're getting chucked back in.
Neuralized. You know, that's the tough one, man. Like, you have to remember, these are people, too, though. Like,
not after you neuralize them.
They're a vegetable after that.
No, I'm just saying, they don't remember. You give them your own story. I mean, once you introduce that, I would be so rough with people, it wouldn't even be funny. I'd be like, I'm fucking taking it. I'd be like, no. I'd be like,
you would just neuralizing everybody. Yeah. Dude. You would literally be Agent J, dude. Yes. They neuralize everybody. I don't know, man. That's a tough situation for me. I don't know if I would like, you'd have to look at it from her standpoint. Obviously, it's a different situation for her at being Helen of Troy, but you know, for the most part, if it was just some rando, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, but this is like an actual, you know, character from, or not character, but you know, like a real historical character. Yes. Like, that's kind of, you gotta be, you know, and she spoke English really well for, you know, being from Troy. But we see basically, and we talked about it earlier, but we see Damian Dark, and he turns out, of course, he's going to be Helen's freaking agent, which totally makes sense, right? I mean, the dude's weasels into every, you know, situation that he could possibly can. Did you find the conversation with Sarah and Damian Dark to be very weird? And by weird, I mean, I typically don't see Damian Dark as being a negotiator. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was a little off for me watching Damian Dark kind of negotiate with Sarah about retreating.
But the fact is, he, like, if you had the confidence to know that, like, he still has to get to, you know, 2017 or 16 to get killed.
Right.
And she's let him go before to get killed, that knowing that she's really not going to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, at this point, his destiny is in 2016, 2017. So, I mean, she could just let him go and nothing's going to happen until then. But I don't know, man. It just felt weird to me watching Damian Dark be like kind of negotiator and
cut. He's an agent.
That's a good point. I mean, I guess I looked past that. But I mean, as always, a team typically just makes a mess out of fucking everything. So they start a damn fight. Like, dude, like, is that pretty much standard protocol now? Like, they're in a gathering. They're trying to be covert. A fight's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's like Legends 101 at this point.
Yeah. Start a brawl.
Start a brawl. And guess who's the one that always starts
it, though?
That's true, dude. Like, I'm not going to lie, dude. I'd start a fight over her. Mick fucking punches that dude out just because, you know, it's Mick. I don't know, man. I think they did a good job of basically showing us how, and I don't want to use the word manipulative, but the way that Helen of Troy was able to affected people, I guess would be the right way to describe it. But with that whole situation with Damian Dark and Sarah was a little weird for me. I'm not sure I really liked the negotiating, but then again, you made a great point. He is her agent. So,
yeah.
So the team makes a mess out of everything and they make a mess and they cause issues over the look of Helen. Like I think that they did a good job with this character, you know, and again, Helen of Troy, if you guys aren't familiar with the character, you know, she was a very beautiful and they cast her very well. I thought
she's gorgeous.
She was absolutely gorgeous,
like,
dude.
And you like, it's one of those times where, you know, especially in this day and age with all the casting couch shit going on.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like for you to believe that this woman can like turn a room. Just based on a look, her walk, you know, you have to go out and be kind of.
You've got to be that.
That, you know.
Like,
even if it was, say, a 7 or 8, because I'll give her a 10 probably.
She's a 9 and a half, 10.
She's pretty
for sure.
Solid.
Yeah, she's solid.
You know, you're not going to buy it if it's just like girl next door cute.
Yeah, that's not happening.
So it's just like they casted it. To the, you know, a point to where like I believe that. That's one of those girls that if I was to see in public, that would like make me uncomfortable.
We've talked about uncomfortably hot.
Yes, there are women that are out there that are so beautiful, they're uncomfortably hot, to where you look at them and you're just like, I just feel weird inside talking to you.
Like, dude, if you're in the same situation or same area with them, you're like, okay, I don't know what to do. Like, it's anytime. Like, so for example, we've done like photo ops together, right? You know, and we've done photo ops with like famous people and whatever. And dude, you get around like these chicks that are in these shows, and
even some of the dudes, you're just like,
like Diggle.
Yes.
Like, bro. Okay. I was like, oh my God. Like,
That's another man.
Yeah, no shit. But it's like, you just get uncomfortable. And yeah, I could see that, dude. They did a great job of casting this girl. I don't know the actress's name, but she did a great job. And I, you know what, dude, I have a feeling.
Bar Pauly, and I'm not making that up. Barpaly.
What else was she in?
She's in Pain and Gain. She was in Runes. She was in Million Dollar Arm.
Really?
She was in some episodes of NCIS.
Well, that's pretty typical for everyone.
Yeah.
But no, I think they did a really good job with this character. And I definitely felt like, you know, you're right, Bob. If it was like a 7 or 8, and I hate using the number scale, but it's the easiest way to describe it to you guys. If it was a 7 and 8, it wouldn't command the room like she did.
No.
She walked in the room and like everyone was like, holy shit, you know?
And old Hollywood hot too.
And old Hollywood hot, you know, hair in the victory rolls and the pins. Absolutely.
They casted right. They dressed it right. They did everything that you believe that this woman would cause a brawl.
Yeah. I mean, hell, I'd punch somebody in the face for her. I mean, I'd probably take a punch in the face, but you know, whatever. You want me to do this live read?
Oh yeah.
USAopoly is the company behind your favorite top quality custom board games made with the brands that you guys love. They're your source for authentic and hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained with laughter and shareable memories. Brands include Game of Thrones, you know, like Winter is Coming, Rick and Morty, you know, I'm Pickle Rick, Star Trek, The Walking Dead, and hundreds of more. Be sure to check out their list of games by heading to USAopoly.com. That's USAOPOLY.com. All right, guys, we're back here for the Legends of Tomorrow edition. Now, the team basically comes up with this, you know, their plan to rescue and retrieve Helen of Troy. And what do you know? The Wave Rider runs into all kinds of problems as both of the operations on the board of the ship go, they take a dump. Now, this is going to be funny, and we're going to talk about this, but Jack Stein, which is a great fucking name for him, by the way, realizes that Hedy Lamarr doesn't become a movie star and her inventions never happen. Now,
totally out of nowhere did I understand what the fuck was going on until I started writing show notes.
I am not going to lie to you. I had no idea what you were talking about until I looked at this just now, like 10 minutes ago when we started like recording. Uh-huh. I was like, oh my God. And then I started Googling and I was like, oh my God.
This person is somebody really important.
This is important. Holy shit. So, you know,
I don't know. Like, is that a show problem where they didn't do it justice? Like,
I don't think it's a, no, I just think I'm retarded and I don't like look at things.
No, but just still like somebody like a tinkerer like Ray should have been pointing that out.
Do you think he would have known though?
If you're a tinkerer and like an inventor and you're like into communications, I mean.
Yeah, but Stein knew who she was.
But Stein's an old fuck.
Well, yeah, but Ray's not an old fuck.
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, it's no different than, like, you and I. We know who Bill Gates is, you know, because we've been around it. But someone who's, like, you know, 92 isn't going to look and go, oh, Bill Gates. You know, like, it's just a different thing. Like, it's a different demographic or different time period. You know, Stein's an old shithead. Okay, he knows who Hedy Lamarr is. Fuck, he was around when she was making movies.
Yeah, he was all googly-eyed over
it. Yeah, he wanted a banger, dude. Like, and I'm not going to lie. I would have, too. She's pretty hot. She's pretty good looking. But dude, okay, so let's talk about Hedy Lamarr a little bit here. First of all, I had no fucking clue who she was until you pointed this out to me. So I'm actually going to go to – we got a little link here, and it's Women Inventors. So although better known for the silver screen exploits – so she was an actress – Austrian actress, dude, everyone was Austrian back then that was an actress. Was it me or like, Jesus?
They knew that the Nazis were coming. So
they were like, fuck, we're out of here. So also became a pioneer in the field of wireless communication following her immigration to the United States.
Explaining the way wider communications going down.
Exactly. The international beauty icon, along with co-inventor George Antheil, developed a secret communication system to help combat the Nazis in World War II. By manipulating radio frequencies at an irregular intervals between transmission and reception, the invention formed an unbreakable code to prevent classified messages from being intercepted by enemy personnel. So this woman, this amazing woman, not only was she in, you know, movies, she was actually very instrumental in creating wireless technology or wireless communications. And obviously it worked in World War II because we fucking beat them krauts. So, you know, this is crazy, dude, for them to actually, you know, because we thought, you know, Helen of Troy was the main figure in this episode, right?
Yeah.
And it turns out that Hedy Lamarr, even though, you know, they just kind of threw her in there, she was almost as important as fucking Helen of Troy.
Yeah, because I think it was the first time we've seen this year that the anachronisms broke the timeline also.
Yes. Yes, very much true.
But I think the only issue I had with it is we never understand what the true timing is for things to stop working.
Right.
You know, we've seen people die in, you know, as a kid and then still somehow live, but, you know, people get born or they screw up the other things and they're able to go back and fix it because time hasn't.
This was pretty quick.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden she didn't act and then the comms went down in the Wave Rider and you're like, all right, like, and I think that's where they run into their weirdest with the time travel and
there's some continuity stuff that
they've made for themselves. It's not like there's real time travel rules, so you can write it any way you want.
I just think, you know, I get that, dude, but it's sometimes you got to overlook some of that stuff. And I think, you know, this was cool because I looked past it here because of how cool they got this grab or pull. I think
you figure like probably 95% of the people don't understand what the hell happened.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't. And again, I followed the name shows.
Yeah. You know,
it's my job.
Yeah, you're right. I just think that personally, you want me to know what my headcanon was until you told me about Hedy Lamarr, about this episode and why shit was failing?
Mm-hmm.
My idea of the reason that shit was failing was because that Jax is in Stein's body. Okay. He can't do the same things. He even mentions it at one point.
With the tools and all that other
stuff. With his hands and, having arthritis. He couldn't fix things. So that was my headcanon until you told me about Hedy Lamarr and, how important she was to the episode. Mm-hmm. My headcanon was the fact that, Jax is inside Stein's body and that's the problem.
Yeah, but like you said, it's such a cool grab.
It really is.
And it was, again, probably missed by a good majority of the viewers.
Without a doubt, dude. Without a doubt, they missed that. And I, I'm sure there are people who are listening right now going, holy shit.
Yeah. Look her up.
Yeah. No joke. Look her up, guys. She, again, incredible woman. And I want to throw this out there too as well. The woman that they got to be, play her part in this episode, I swear to fucking God, looks like really, really looks like Hedy Lamarr. Like when I saw the picture of Hedy Lamarr, like the actual picture of her, and then I saw the picture, like I thought it was the actress. Like, yeah,
dude. They're spot on.
They're spot on. So whoever did the casting in this episode, you freaking nailed it. And if you're listening, which you probably aren't, but the fact of the matter is the casting in this was fucking on point, dude. No joke. I typically don't get that giddy over casting, but this is damn good.
Yeah.
But this was a cool pull for them, for the show. I mean, for the writers, for do something. Yes, it's very obscure, but at the end of the day, dude, this is pretty damn badass.
Yeah.
So we also see during the convincing of Hedy, to return that we get to basically a better look at Damian Dark's daughter.
Which we kind of, I know you weren't on last week's, but we kind of spoiled it because we Googled who that, during the vampire episode, they never talked about who she was.
Right.
And then we IMDb'd it and all of a sudden it was like Damian Dark's daughter. We're like, oh, that's Damian Dark's daughter. So it was kind of night. Like I was like, all right, they didn't hold on to it too much.
You cheated.
Well, I didn't cheat. The IMDb did.
Oh, fuck.
Well, because I never said her name last week. So it was like, well, who the fuck is this chick?
Well, what's cool about this, and this is
kind of like the Hedley Lamarr thing. You had to go look her up to figure out who she was.
Right. Now, one of the things that I liked about this, and this comes from, you know, being a nerd, and I'm on another show on the network here.
Blue Fire.
Blue Fire show. Supernatural The Crossroads. This actress, Courtney Ford, who I've liked. I forget she was in a movie, dude, that I was just totally like head over heels for. But she just recently ended her run on Supernatural as Kelly Klein. So when I saw her in the episode,
She was in Dexter.
She was in Dexter. I couldn't remember what it was.
In True Blood.
Yes, True Blood, Dexter. She's been in a lot of cool stuff. Love this actor. She's awesome. Actually, I believe, isn't she married to Brandon Routh?
Yes.
That's what I thought. So this was giddy for me because I'm not going to lie to you guys. I've been jumping around on Legends. I've been trying to jump around and just catch an episode. So when I saw her, I was like, oh, dang, you know, she was just on Supernatural. So this is pretty cool. And, you know, again, that comes from CW basically pulling from the, you know, the mill of actors and actresses that they have.
The Vancouver herd.
Yeah, the Vancouver actors and actresses. But we kind of see her powers. You know, she can read minds. I guess I would at one point, she read Zari. Mm-hmm. She read Zari. By the way, her eyes are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like that vampire looking black, red, like scary ass looking eye, dude, that's some creepy shit. But what else did we see? We saw her,
she caught the totems.
Right. That's right.
When they shot at her.
So she definitely has some kind of like telekinetic powers. Which are pretty cool. And like I said, her eyeballs, dude,
shows they get passed by sperm.
Yeah, dude. She can like telekinetically jerk you off.
No, I was just talking about because she got it from her daddy.
Oh, God. Terrible. So like I'm on her actual page on Arrow Wiki. Dark magic. It is unknown what the source of her powers are, but she's displayed a similar powers of obviously as her father's. She has mediumship, which is concludes life force absorption. So she can actually siphon the life force from people. That's creepy. Telekinesis. So she can move stuff. And then she used to have air totem powers, which I guess she got rid of those. But, this dude, she's pretty cool, man. I think this is a cool character. It'll be interesting to see where she goes, but it's neat that they pull these actresses and actors, you know, so you look at them and go, hey, I know that person. Plus, you know, I'm sure she gets to hang out with her husband, which I'm sure she loves.
Yeah. Well, again, I get to hang out with my husband and get paid.
Yeah, dude, that'd be kind of awesome, right?
Right? I mean, like, if I'm just hanging around.
You're like, oh, I'm here? Oh, you guys need me for something? Oh, shit, all right. You know, the typical thing, you know, Firestorm, because Jax and Stein are flipped in bodies, they're very reluctant to join the fight because if they fuse, they could blow up and kill everyone, which seems to be a problem with Firestorm. Like, isn't there always like a problem where he might blow up and kill everyone?
It was supposed
to
be regulated by their chest piece.
Yeah. Why the hell does that not? I don't understand that.
I don't know how reversing bodies makes a difference.
Yeah. It's no different, right? It's still your body. You're just a different mind, right?
It's still the two pieces. I mean, if it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you got bread, peanut butter, and jelly. Doesn't matter which order you put them in.
Yeah, which side, doesn't matter which side you put the PB and the J. Like, it doesn't matter.
You mush them together, you got yourself a sandwich.
Yeah, a sandwich. Like, at the end of the day, like, at some point, I feel like sometimes when they do these Firestorm things, it seems like they need something in the show.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's just do this. And we've done that.
Ray would have been like, hey, can you guys just go, I'm going to drop you off in the little shuttle ship. Like way out in the middle of nowhere. You guys try to fucking join up and see what happens.
Yeah, like
you just find out it's 8 Mile Island or something
like
that.
They go to Themyscira to do it. All the Amazons are dead. That's one way to get rid of it.
It's Atlantis, and that's why we don't know where it is.
Oh, hey. And then Aquaman comes out of nowhere.
that's how it was. It was a dude studying, and then they went off, and it's a nuclear thing, and now he can breathe underwater.
That's how Arthur Curry gets made.
Yes. That's not canon. Don't go around telling people that.
Yeah, guys, that's not canon. Don't. Now, I don't know if I'd be – dude, I'd just be like, let's fuse, dude. Like, at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to be reluctant to do it. You know what I mean? Like, let's just fuse and see what happens. I mean
– Yeah, I mean, it would have been different if they had shown any kind of, like, side effect, I guess, or anything that would have been
– There was no side effect, dude. It was just switched bodies.
Yeah.
Like, if it was like, you know – Jack's caught on fire for no reason, like couldn't control powers, then it'd be different.
Yeah. And they didn't show that. So I don't know why they were so hesitant. Because Stein is the Matrix maker.
Yeah. I was like, dude, come on. The reason is Stein is paranoid. Okay. Oh, we could kill everyone. Like, dude, come on. Come on.
You're old. You're going to die anyway.
Yeah. You're on death's bed anyways, bro. Don't even worry about it. I will say that one thing that completely caught me off guard was when Hedy convinces him to basically switch back and how to switch back. I was like, wait,
it makes a lot more sense now that we know the background of the character.
Yeah. She just throws that out there and you're like,
you're like, wait a minute. What does this have to do with you reading lines?
I'm like, what the hell? Like, dude, she came off like all astute and shit. The Matrix is for the, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
What the hell? Like, it just came out of nowhere, dude. Uh-huh. Left field. But again, now that we know the character,
it makes a lot more sense.
Makes way more sense, again, dude.
Another one of these episodes where when we talk about it, we know more and we appreciate it a lot more.
I think that, and that's the thing, man. That's what made that whole spot good was that, you know, we didn't, now that I know, it's like, son of a bitch.
And knowing this after battle.
God, you just G.I. Joe'd me, son of a bitch. And again, you know, we end the episode with that huge, 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 you know, drop of Themyscira. I mean, that ending was great. You see,
it was totally off guard.
Totally off guard. And you see that what I liked about it is that Zari, you get to see her kind of, I love that it was a loophole.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, well, you disappeared in this time period. So I'm going to take you somewhere else in that same time.
Yeah.
Which is fucking smart. Like, okay. That loophole, a loophole is a loophole, dude. Doesn't matter.
It wasn't them breaking time.
Yeah. And you get to see basically that she's a little bit of a, I don't want to say reckless or a rebel, but, you know, that's pretty.
But you kind of know it because she's like, I mean, they haven't showed it a lot, but she's a hack, you know, she's a hacker.
Yeah.
You know, and a hacktivist or whatever you want to fucking call
it. Yeah, hacktivist, yeah.
And, you know, so she does have that piece in her.
Right.
You know, and she comes from, I think she related with her just because she comes from that 2042 time to where, you know, they ban religion, they ban metas,
right?
You know, and she got her family taken away from her and she was treated like shit. And so
she kind of knows what it's like,
you know, she felt for her.
Well, I mean, you know, she took her to a place, one place that, you know, she'll be accepted. So,
yeah,
you know, unless she's weak. And she's weak and she gets killed, you know, but whatever.
Well, you know? You find out she just like died in training.
She gets an arrow to the fucking knee, dies, bleeds out. But with that, guys, let's jump into our final thoughts.
Right.
I'm going to go first. I really like this episode. Again, like I said, I've been jumping around with Legends and I haven't really watched in order. So I've kind of just been all over the place. But this was definitely a really solid episode. I think, you know, with the whole Hedy thing, kind of hitting us now, like, man, that's so smart of them to do that. The casting on this episode was fucking phenomenal. The Helen of Troy, Hedy, both were great, dude, but I just can't say this enough that, you know, Jackson Stein's performances in this episode really made the episode. It was so well done. And the mannerisms and the way they speak and even some of the words that they say was just so, so good. Yeah. That it really made the episode. I also want to mention too that if you haven't noticed, Sarah's suit's getting a little bit more low cut and her boobs are hanging out more, which I totally approve of. So if, you know, whoever's doing wardrobe,
Ryan approved.
I approve of the wardrobe changes on Sarah's White Canary costume. Thank you very much. That's very nice of you. But no, I think this was a really solid episode, and it was fun. And I think that's what Legends is supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be the fun show.
Yeah.
And I think this was a very fun episode. And dude, can I talk about Neil McDonough for a second? Like, no matter, we've seen Damian Dark for how long now, you know, and dude, the guy
probably a lot longer than he thought he was going to be.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you know what's funny, man, is God, he is so good.
Yeah, it commands the screen big time.
Every time that he's on screen, he commands your attention. And I love the dude. I mean, we met him, man. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
Super cool dude. So with this, man, I really, really like this episode.
Yeah.
Bob, what about you?
Yeah. Again, you talked about the performances by the actors and their ability to, I guess, not play different versions of themselves, but really play a different version.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with like cadence of how they talk.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
and they Jax did that so well. Franz did that so well this week in imitating, you know, Stein. You know, just with the cadence of like the hurry, the frantic, you know, way he talks sometimes. You know, and it was just like it made me laugh. And we talked about like Nate, you know, some of those, he was smirking a lot when they were talking,
right,
about not getting used to this. And you always wonder how much of that is like real, like where you just like you watch somebody do an impression of a friend and you're just like, all right, that's funny. And again, good, sticking with Nate, I just love the way they writing Nate to where they have like this weird sexual tension between him and Amaya.
Yes,
and so then like good. Hot girls come around all the time and he's just looking around. She's like, she's hot. You know, I love like
it. He's not, like hiding it. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like in the comms in the ear. And we know everybody can hear everything he's saying.
Dude, they've written him very well.
Yeah.
Dude.
You know, they made him like, cause you know, he was, you know, you forget that this was the guy that had, you know, he had the blood disease where he couldn't clot.
Right.
You know,
right.
And until he got the steel power, you know, he never experienced a lot of this stuff. So he was pretty much a fucking book nerd.
He was a
know?
Nerd, yeah.
And they're getting back to that, the where you see that awkwardness with him. And
which just, is great. Yeah. Dude. So good.
But yeah, it was definitely a good episode. The Easter egg caught me at, you know, for sure at the end. It wasn't anything I expected to
you didn't
hear
expect to see.
That. And bravo for CW for keeping that under wraps, because you know they get a lot spoiled, and again it's probably my fault because I'm the producer of the show and I have to keep on top of this, so I read a lot about the shows before they ever happen. Like we knew the Oliver Queen Bruce Wayne thing was happening before it ever happened on the episode. We didn't fucking hear shit about them.
That's why it took me off guard by so much.
Yeah, it just threw me off so much. Yeah. That you're just like, all right, good for you. So again, another solid episode. And Legends is nothing like it's so good to watch. And
it's fun, man.
Yeah, and you're never disappointed, and you never leave it depressed or upset, I guess.
Even if it's a goofy episode, man, you still watch it and you go, man, there's some great stuff in here.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's best about Legends of Tomorrow is that they have that formula for to have a good time.
Yeah.
So with that, guys, that's going to do it for today's DC on CW Legends of Tomorrow edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes, Arrow, Flash, whatever, Supergirl, through the Rayman Digital app. Make sure you follow us on our social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Guys, we will see you next week.
Not in the mood for chit-chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are.